This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 22nd, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate you starting your Wednesday morning right here. I got a question for you. Can you feel the difference? Well, maybe not most of you because you haven't been outside yet, but the few of you that have. Can you feel it? It is 20 to 25 to 30 degrees warmer than it was at this time yesterday. Now, these are still cold temperatures, a lot of single digits out there still, but when you were 20 below with a wind chill of 30 below or 40 below, or like in Duluth, 50 below, this feels like a heat wave. It's 10 above right now in Chippewa Falls, 8 degrees in Hayward, Amory's at 14, Wausau's at 4 right now, La Crosse, 10 above. It's 5 in Rapids and in Green Bay. Madison's at 7 degrees, Waukesha's at 3, and Radio Park in Racine has a balmy 8 degrees right now. What a difference 24 hours makes. Coming up on the program today, we will have, it's Wednesday, so we'll have our climate check. We're actually going to have a little fun at the beginning of it because we always introduce it with a Marcia Griffith song. And that's actually part of today's history lesson, so we'll talk to Melissa a bit about that. But then, in talking about the climate, we'll note that the new president, see, I've got my swear jar here, so, you know. The new president has pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords again, but maybe things are a little different this time, you know, just in how we deal with that, and how we... It's essentially have a national workaround, shall we say. So we'll talk to Melissa a bit about that. We'll talk about how folks who are likely to be marginalized, denigrated, targeted under the new regime are saying, you know, we're not going to sit here and have a pity party the whole time. There's work to be done. So we'll talk a bit about that. In our second hour, we'll visit with State Assembly Rep. Francesca Hong. About, well, she's going to talk about one program. We're actually going to talk about two things in our second hour. You know how, you know, there's a saying, this shouldn't be a thing. It's something that should maybe be on a radio show. Greg, are you familiar with the line, this shouldn't be a thing?
Oh, I have. It's one of the most genius lines ever uttered on radio. Right up there with That's the Rest of the Story and That's by Howard Stern.
Well, there's these this shouldn't be a thing that kids go hungry because, you know, their parents are poor and they fall behind in their school lunch bill. You should be able to get a healthy meal at school. And State Representative Francesca Hong is sponsoring that Healthy School Meals for All bill. So we'll talk to her about that and other things that will be handled by the Assembly Education Committee, of which she is a member. And the other this shouldn't be a thing goes like this. There are now only two states left in the country that do not accept federal funds that will allow new moms to have stable, affordable health care access through Medicaid for 12 months postpartum. There are only two states that restrict that to 2 months postpartum and then cut you off, even though new moms have health issues all throughout, you know, the first year after labor and delivery. And Wisconsin's one of those two. The other is Arkansas. And the thing is, it's a very bipartisan bill. It passed the state Senate last year with only one no vote from a guy who's no longer there. But despite having so many sponsors in the assembly that it could pass on a majority vote just with the sponsors alone, one guy won't let it come up for a vote. You guessed it. It's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And he, again, this week has reiterated he's not letting that bill go through. What is it that Robin Voss, you know, wants to say to sick new moms? I got tough luck, I guess, is the radio-friendly way that we can put it. Why does Robin Voss hate new moms? I don't know. We'll ask that question in our second hour. And along the way, of course, you can join us by telephone or by fax at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text us through the Civic Media app. You can call us through the Civic Media app as well. And, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, put a little something in the comments section. We'd love to have you along. Temperature-wise, looking at my notes here, so we did break our streak below zero. Here in the Chippewa Valley, it was 66 hours that we spent below zero. We are still, however, we're now in our 107th hour below freezing since sometime late Friday afternoon. So we'll eventually get back above the freezing mark here, but we're slowly working our way back. From the standpoint of civic media coverage, you get a double dose of me today. I will be back later this evening for Governor Evers delivering his State of the State address. That'll start at 7 tonight. Coverage begins here on Civic Media at 6:50. Join me and Todd Alba and political editor Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area as we look ahead to what we're expecting the governor to say. And then talk afterwards about what was in the speech, what get passed, what is likely to get stymied by the legislature, but all in an effort by the governor to, you know, reflect the will of the people in what things should be getting done in the state capitol. Whether they are or not is something you probably have to take up with Robin Voss. But we'll talk more about that as the day goes along as well. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and hit subscribe up in the top banner, and you can be a part of that. And I'm just calling up Christina's newsletter from this morning. There's a little story here about Lambeau Field and how it compares to the rest of the NFL in ways that are tangible, but also intangible. There's a shortage of referees out there because parents are being jerks. So it's a call for more people to be refs for youth sports and for parents to settle down out there. And there's a link as well to the article that I wrote a couple of weeks back after the passing of two former Wisconsin state senators who reminded us of a time when politics wasn't as partisan and polarizing as it is now. So again, that's part of our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click subscribe in the top banner. A couple of quick sports notes for you as well. Let's see. The Bucks play tonight at New Orleans. The Badger men's basketball team lost last night to UCLA, 85-83. That snaps a seven-game win streak for the Badgers. A five-minute scoring drought early in the second half didn't help matters. The Badger men will host Nebraska on Sunday, and you'll be able to hear that game across several Civic Media stations. The 10th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team forced Seton Hall into making 24 turnovers en route to a 76-59 victory last night. Marquette is in a tie for first place in the Big East Conference, and they will next host Villanova on Friday in Milwaukee. And finally, the Baseball Hall of Fame has announced its class for 2025. Ichiro Suzuki becomes the first Japanese player chosen for the Hall. He fell just one vote short of unanimous. He was elected along with relief pitcher Billy Wagner and former Brewer pitcher CC Sabathia. Sabathia gave Brewer fans a summer to remember in 2008. Cleveland could no longer afford him after eight seasons, and the Brewers snapped him up. He was only on the team for 3 months, just long enough for him to put the entire team on his back and carry Milwaukee to its first playoff appearance in 26 years. According to Kurt Hogg at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sabathia made 17 starts pitched 7 complete games on those 17 starts. 3 shutouts. His earned run average while with the Brewers was 1.65. He even hit a home run in his second game with the Brewers, and he threw what everyone considered to be a no-hitter, except the official scorer who botched a call on a missed ground ball. Sabathia then went in the offseason to the Yankees, where he stayed for 11 more seasons and solidified his home run career. He's got a Cy Young Award. He's got a World Series ring. But, Greg, I do recall well, there was just something about when, first off, it was like, did we get this guy? I can't believe we got this guy. You know, Cleveland had to make a trade. I think we were all like, did we just get CC Sabathia? Really? Wow.
You know? Did we get the other CC Sabathia? Yeah, like with the little 2 next to it? Like, is that the, because we're the Brewers and we don't get.
But we did. Tony's on YouTube going, you're welcome from Cleveland. So,
okay.
Well, look, Tony says on YouTube, CC was an absolute beast. And he was. And you thought, well, okay, I don't know how we got him, but he's just going to be kind of dogging it, right? Till he can get, you know, a decent contract with some bigger team. No. He poured it on.
And he spoke amazing. And he spoke fondly of his time here too. Like he really he came and left before I really got into baseball, but like many friends who were freaking out when he joined the team and they loved watching him, and he really enjoyed being here for the short time.
It was the prototypical way that you wish every situation would work, where, you know, the small market team can't afford somebody anymore. You know, another small market team picks him up for a short time. You know, he's moving on. But again, the fact that there's no bad blood anywhere in there compared to who's the loser we were making fun of last year because he was trashing his time with the Brewers for no particular reason whatsoever. Oh, how you like that? God. We've already forgotten him. Good. I'm glad.
He plays for the Mets now, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm glad I can't remember his name.
I'm not gonna look it up. And people on the live stream, don't tell us.
Yeah, just
let him be nothing to us.
Yeah, because there was no reason. Remember, it caught us all kind of off guard. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I thought we were cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, what did we do?
And he was just like, oh, I hate Milwaukee.
I never want to go back there again.
Yeah, well, okay. Don't let the door hit you. So anyway, I would much rather remember CC Sabathia's time here.
Indeed.
Because that was great.
Yes.
Again, the salary structure is such that it's not quite fair with the larger teams. But if this is the system we've got, we definitely showed how you can make the best of it. And so did CC Sabathia, a first ballot Hall of Famer, if ever there was one to be deserved. When we come back, we'll talk about the state attorney general joining a lawsuit to help overcome Donald Trump's assault on the Constitution. Now I got to feed the swear jar. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
There's no mistaking the voice of somebody whose birthday is today. You should have been gone. Know it how. That, of course, would be Steve Perry, formerly of Journey. We'll have details in today's history lesson coming up in a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Greg, and under the category of coffee mugs, and by the way, what do you have for a coffee mug today?
Anything? I don't have one right now.
Oh,
I didn't get a chance to make myself some coffee, so I'll have some in a little bit. But
okay. There was one that's a favorite of mine, but the way that this is set up, if I'm going to highlight the coffee mug, I can only put it in my right hand, and that's where my little hot plate is for the coffee mug.
Yes.
But some coffee mugs have things on 2 sides. This one, as you can tell, has nothing on this side. If I could hold it with my left hand, you'd see my proud little UW-Eau Claire alumni logo on there.
Yeah.
But because they only put it on the one side, and I would otherwise bump into the microphone with it, I can't do that. So for folks looking going, hey, that's not his usual coffee mug with the grandkids. No, today's the alumni mug. But
And that's
you gotta put stuff on both sides. I'm just keep that in mind when we finally put that order in for Up North News coffee mugs. You gotta put stuff on both sides.
Folks, I wanna let you know that this conversation would have happened whether it was on or off the radio and me being Absolutely. Here or not. Doesn't matter. It's yeah. just the way I can't with the coffee mugger, I'm gonna hit the microphone and exactly. I can't.
In case anybody's wondering, going, is he really a 60-year-old man now? Yeah. I believe I've put that question to bed.
Oh, right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm perfectly happy with
it. Tune in the second hour. Pat comes back with his hard opinions.
All right. Grandpa continues with the headlines now. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, Governor Evers, and Democrats in many other states across the country filed a lawsuit against President Donald Trump on Tuesday to block his executive order that is intended to end birthright citizenship, even though, you know, there's this thing called the Constitution that might be standing in the way. The lawsuit says that Trump acted without legal authority in signing the order. And in the lawsuit, it says that this is purely a policy tactic to purportedly deter immigration into the United States. Call put out a statement that called this a blatant violation of the Constitution. He said the Constitution, federal law, and the Supreme Court precedent all make clear that the children who would be impacted by this executive order are indeed United States citizens. Trump's order says, you know, that children born to undocumented immigrants inside the U.S. will not be considered U.S. citizens. It extends to children born to mothers who were lawfully in the U.S. but only temporarily, like on student or work or tourist visas. Look, you can have any opinion you want about immigration. You can have any opinion you want on anchor babies or chain migration. You can set up whatever policy you want for immigration reform and border security. You don't get to rewrite the Constitution or ignore the parts that you don't like. I mean, would that it were so, what we could do with the Second Amendment after the way that the meaning of that has been perverted over the years. But we have what we have. You have to change it by constitutional amendment one way or another, and an executive order just ain't going to cut it. The inaugural festivities that took place in Washington, D.C. were attended by many Republicans, a few Democrats in Congress, but definitely not Congressman Mark Pocan. We talked to him, we heard from him yesterday about how he spent Monday not in Washington, D.C., but actually following through on the Martin Luther King Day holiday theme of service. And he held a news conference with several groups of people that, you know, he said could be, you know, marginalized by the incoming administration. And so while we heard from the congressman, I thought maybe we would hear from some of the folks who took part in that event as well. For example, there's Centro Hispano Executive Director Karen Menendez-Collar, who talked about, really, this is a time for pride, not pity. A lot of folks are upset about Donald Trump being elected and where we go from here. But as Collar makes clear, there is work that goes on for her community who's ever in the White House.
I think I've gone through a lot of feelings since the election. Grief, sadness. I'm at a point where I want to celebrate our joy and I want to celebrate our humanity. And I hope the message about our community really centers on that moving forward so that we can bridge those divides that that say that we're different. We're not another community. We're the fabric of Wisconsin. We're the fastest growing community when it comes to the city, the county, and the state. We're here to stay, and we're really intentional about making sure that we thrive.
There was also Tyrone Creech from GSAFE. That is a nonprofit advocacy group for the LGBTQ community. And his words were a little bit more direct about what the incoming administration, the real danger that it poses to young people who are still dealing with questions of sexual identity. They're dealing with bullying and mental health issues. And we need to be aware of that because things are going to get a little bit worse for them in this new administration.
Essentially, education is supposed to be free, and we're not allowing that for our students. Right, we're talking about bans on also curriculum. We're talking about our trans community that should be at the forefront of our movements and that are being tucked away. that we're not acknowledging. We're talking about the healthcare that trans kids need, non-binary kids need to survive. We're essentially talking about the survival of kids. We're also talking about in school administration, school boards that are against trans kids and non-binary. The fact is that you are okay with kids killing themselves. You're okay with teen suicide because exactly what's going to happen. It's already been happening. It's going to get worse. We must protect our students. That is the future of our communities. That is the future of our world.
And I want to hear from one more. We're going to skip down, Greg, to talking about the Postal Service, because that, too, is a group. Maybe you've forgotten by now, but all throughout the Trump administration the first time around was talk of privatizing the Postal Service. And Don Onen, the state president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, says they're aware of how important mail service is and it needs to be protected.
We talked about how important it is to make sure the essential mail stays exactly the way it is. We deliver to every single house in our communities, the rural communities that other delivery organizations don't do. We're the eyes and the ears of the community. We deliver medicine for the elderly, and we go places that other people don't go. We don't charge these fines. We don't charge these fees. It's free. As long as you put a mailbox at your house, we will come every single day. And it is so essential. The American people depend on us, and it's very essential that we make sure that our plight for the country is still there.
So again, the theme here, pride, not pity. The work goes on, whatever it is, whether it's delivering the mail, taking care of kids in crisis. There's just a lot of watching out other that we're going to have to do a little bit more of now. Our climate check is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric.
Oh, you're going to like how we start things off with this week's climate check, and we're starting right there with that song you hear every Wednesday morning at this time, Marcia Griffith doing the Electric Boogie, otherwise known as the Electric Slide, and Melissa Baldoff always dances her way in here every Wednesday. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Now, all the time you hear me say at the end of this segment that today's history lesson is coming up next. We're going to tease a little bit of today's history lesson because it involves that very song. It's a song that was released back in 1982, essentially, as a response to Eddie Grant's song, Electric Avenue. So this dance song written by Bunny Wailer dates back to the early 80s. But it was on this day in 1990 that a disc jockey in Washington revived it, and the Jamaican singer showed up back on the Hot 100 as the new electric slide line dance craze swept the nation, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you've done at one or two wedding receptions, Melissa.
I certainly have. I am a big fan of the electric slide of any kind of group dance, quite frankly. So, I'm all in.
All right. So yeah, peaked at, came back on the chart, peaked at number 51 on this day in 1990 and has frankly, lived on forever as a result. And, also reminds us every week that we were talking about the climate and ways that we get our electricity and maybe get them from cleaner, greener sources. Well, at least we were. And, then came the Trump administration. Again, I want to remind you all, this is not a recording from 2017 when I say that Donald Trump just pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords. First off, we weren't on the air in 2017. But here we are again. Deja vu, Melissa. As Trump has promised, I mean, he did it. He's going to do so much more. How do you describe what we're doing, what this country is doing now starting this week?
It's so hard to describe it because, everything you could say feels so cliched and it feels so, you know, underwhelming. That's not even the right word. It just feels, doesn't even feel big enough to meet how serious this is. It's just, you know, you just think, how could we get here again? How could we be in this moment? And how could we get here again? How could we allow this to happen again? And it's really hard to not feel, despair, and to, you know, be focused on, you know, the work that has to be done to hold him accountable, hold this administration accountable, and to stay focused on the progress that can still be made. So, you know, it's hard to not, feel really sad and angry about this and how we got to this place again.
And yet there's something that feels a little bit different. And we covered this at once during the campaign here. And there's actually a headline on an article from America Is All In, which says America is all in and doubles down on the commitment to the Paris Agreement despite Trump's withdrawal. And specifically for folks that didn't hear our segment, it may be that Trump is taking the federal government out of the business of trying to reduce carbon emissions, but cities are still involved. States like Wisconsin are still involved. Local institutions are still involved. And even a good number of businesses remain committed to the ideal of reducing their carbon footprint, because it seems like a whole lot of people, Melissa, don't see this as a political issue. They see this as a planet issue, as a quality of the air we breathe issue. So I agree with you. It's not happy news, but it feels like Trump doing these things actually builds awareness of the good stuff behind it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. It does. It does build awareness. But I think that the challenge is, you know, just having those good things break through, because, you know, there's just the onslaught of insanity with him and the constant distractions with other things. I thought there was a, you know, just a really funny and clever, but so just like, sketch on Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know, supposed to be MSNBC, and they just kept cutting in with like breaking news of all these like ridiculous things that Donald Trump was saying. And that's just kind of how they could never actually cover any news that was happening, because they just kept cutting in with like breaking news of like ridiculous things he was saying. Mm-hmm. And that just feels like what we've already lived and what we are perhaps doomed to live again here, which is just makes it all the more important that we, you know, have these conversations like we get to have every week here on Climate Check, and that people continue to have conversations in their communities and continue to talk about those successes, you know, with their friends and neighbors on social media, you know, writing letters to the editor, just getting the news out about the good things that are happening and talk about it and try to help those things break through as much as possible about those successes, because it is difficult to break through the noise when you've got, you know, just this clown out there saying anything and everything all the time to distract from some of the bad stuff that he's doing.
Yeah. Look, according to an Associated Press story about this, in terms of, you know, what exactly are we talking about here for the Paris Climate Accord? Again, it's a system by which every 5 years, countries that belong to it are required to submit a goal or a plan for what they're going to do about carbon dioxide and methane and other gases. And President Biden actually did submit a plan for the United States last month to reduce emissions by as much as 2/3 by 2035 compared to the levels in 2005. And countries can make their emissions targets more or less ambitious. Trump, rather than making the goal less ambitious, decided just to pull the U.S. out, which I think puts us in the, yep, here's the list. Here's who's not in the Paris Agreement. Iran, Libya, Yemen, and the Trump administration. Just a real hall of fame for the climate there, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, we're going to be really shooting ourselves in the foot here. You know, this is opting ourselves out of the opportunity to be a part of the solution. We're going to be leaving, you know, other leaders, other nations to, you know, to fill that void and to make the decisions. And we're just kind of going to take a step back and say, hey, we're not going to be a part of the solution. And it's really disappointing to see that, you know, we're not going, clearly not going to do our own part to, you know, limit our own contribution to global warming, and don't want to have any role in leadership globally.
Right. And, you know, as one of the world's largest polluters, which we are by, you know, virtue of our size and the scope of our industry and everything, part of the agreement is that, you know, developed nations like the United States would help pay for some smaller, poorer countries that have to deal with the effects of a changing climate. And last year, President Biden announced that U.S. climate aid to poor nations was around $11 billion in the past year, which is far short of what these countries say they need. But again, it was something compared to Donald Trump, who's just pulling the whole thing back. But let's switch over to another thing that Donald Trump did, again, just as a, you know, just as a sop to, you know, to industry, to the big industries that pollute, gas and oil companies and things like that. And that was getting rid of the so-called EV mandate. And again, last year, Melissa, we went over this. It's not an EV mandate in the way that Trump frames it. It's not reducing anybody's choice of vehicles. It is saying that vehicle manufacturers overall have to have their total tailpipe emissions, you know, come down to a certain level. Some companies are going to do that through EVs. Some are going to do it through cleaner burning gas engines. But, you know, the whole thing is it was kind of surprising to me, Melissa, to hear Trump continue to talk about it this way, even though he's been fact-checked 8 ways to Sunday on this. But I guess, you know, he just repeats the same thing often enough, you know, enough Americans will believe it to vote for him.
Yeah, that seems to be a strategy that has worked well for Donald Trump, unfortunately. And we know, like you said, that this is not something that is, you know, forcing anyone to do anything. And in fact, you know, this is something that has the support of the auto industry. They have been very much in support of really shifting to production of more EVs because they are seeing that's what the market is supporting. They know that's what customers are interested in. It's unfortunate for, you know, businesses that, you know, have been relying on the production of these vehicles because they know that customers are interested in purchasing them. It's unfortunate for workers who are relying on these clean energy, clean technology jobs that pay really well to build the charging infrastructure. It's unfortunate for employers who know that their employees want to have access to chargers because they are driving EVs and that's important to them. So by Donald Trump, you know, really trying to make it more difficult for that industry to thrive, he's only hurting, you know, workers and businesses and really stifling the economy. He's not sending the message that he thinks he is. He's really just hurting workers, hurting the economy, and that's all he's doing.
And I think that it's important to end on that note, is that, look, a lot of what you heard right now is reaction to Donald Trump's activity to pull out of the Paris Accords and, you know, to denigrate the move toward electric vehicles. But moving forward, when Donald Trump does some of these things, let's keep in mind what the proper frame is. It's when Donald Trump says he's going to, you know, defund the Inflation Reduction Act, he's killing jobs. He's quite literally killing jobs. We've outlined so many ways in Wisconsin that the Inflation Reduction Act is adding jobs. Now, people would get that if, say, he canceled the bipartisan infrastructure law. People would know, okay, well, we're not going to get our roads fixed. We're not going to get those bridges built. And it just needs to be made clear again that anything that Trump does to the Inflation Reduction Act, that is literally killing job growth in Wisconsin and other states. We have a vehicle, no pun intended, to go forward on job growth, and Trump can only make things worse from here.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, the benefit we have seen from the Inflation Reduction Act is only going to increase as more people, as more businesses, as more communities continue to take advantage of the rebates that are available, of the resources under direct pay, under as you know, more projects continue to expand from the investments that are made in communities all across the country. So, you know, if he is going to roll back the progress that we've made, it is only going to hurt hurt our progress and hurt hurt people all around the country.
Yeah. So let's keep an eye on that. That's what we will watch in this new presidency. And in the meantime, continue to encourage the steps that are being done at the state and local and private sector levels. Melissa Baldoff, let's electric slide our way out of here. Thank you again for the visit and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, you too.
All right. The rest of that history lesson is coming up in a bit. You're up, Dark.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Darling, you send me, I know you send me, darling, you.
Does it get much smoother than Sam Cooke?
No.
Late Sam Cooke, born this day in 1931. We'll get another tune or two out of him before the day is over. This is today's history lesson for this January 22nd, 2025. And we are joined by Melissa Kay from WFHR in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, good morning. How are things in Rapids today?
Good morning. We have a light dusting of snow, and it's my birthday week, guys.
Your birthday week?
How does 22 feel?
Like 43. But, you know, it's good. It's on Saturday. Just in case you wanted to know.
Are you gonna do anything special?
I'm going to go see my niece's theater competition she's in up in Duluth.
Aww.
What does a theater competition look like? It's like, York, I knew you well. Good job. All right. Good.
It's a Shakespeare off.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their director wrote a play about the Hawk tragedy, the mining tragedy that happened where a lot of people died. So it's going to be a drama.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. I was like, wow. Ethan Hawk? All right.
Okay. All right. Robin Tiger.
Thanks, Rob.
Robin Tigerton says, good morning, Melissa. Happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Oh, that's kind of you.
On this day in 1963, the Drifters were in the recording studio. This is what came out the other side. On this day in 1901, England's Queen Victoria died after a then-record-breaking reign of 63 years, 7 months, a record that would be broken by her great-granddaughter Elizabeth, who reigned for 70 years and 7 months. But, I mean, they've got job security, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're unless, of course, you get, you know, you lose your head, like in yesterday's history lesson. But other than that, you're fine. The world's first jumbo jet, the Boeing 747, entered commercial service, or Pan Am, flying from New York's JFK to London. The Columbia Phonograph Record Company was formed on this day in 1889. The record label would morph into radio and then TV as the Columbia Broadcast System, better known as CBS today, but it all got started in 1889. Singer Steve Perry, formerly of Journey, is 76 years old today.
Just the softest rock available.
Hey, I like Steve Perry.
That's where you and I differ. But I'm not even...
Soft rock has its place.
I'm not even criticizing. You know, when you need a pillow of rock to lay your head down, I mean, Steve Perry,
Steve Perry.
You need to feel feels.
Yes.
This is what you need.
He brings the goods. Chef Guy Fieri is 57 today. Wow. Actress Diane Lane hits the big 6-0 today. And basketball player Caitlin Clark is 23. Did you see she was in the luxury box with Taylor Swift at the Kansas City game? Everybody was all on Twitter about that. Caitlin Clark and Taylor Swift are besties.
Think I watch sports? No.
No, I don't think you do.
Pat, she's going to a theater competition this week. Do you think she knows anything about sports? Really,
I know those names. I know who those people are.
A mining disaster theater off is kind of the polar opposite of Taylor Swift over here.
A bit.
Let's see. The late Michael Hutchins of NXS was born this day in 1960.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we got Greg back now. There we go. I'm not sleeping. Of course,
it would be so much fun to go to a club with Greg.
Oh no, I wouldn't. I'd be in the corner just tapping my foot going.
Okay. Yeah. He only comes to life here in the studio, in the control room. Yep. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which was repealed in 2022 by the Dobbs decision. And the number one song this day in 1977 was by Stevie Wonder. No, this is not Will Smith. Stop waiting for that song from Wild Wild West. This is the original one, kids.
You see that article about him that says he still like resents Chris Rock's sense of humor? I'm like, dude, you got to get over this.
Yeah. There was a Super Bowl played this day in 1984, and that's back when Super Bowl commercials were still like really new and novel and you know, borderline legendary.
Yeah.
And the first real legendary Super Bowl ad was this day in 1984. That, of course, was the one from Apple Macintosh, which was the first consumer computer to popularize a mouse and a graphical user interface. And remember the whole, the woman, it was, you know, 1984, the novel, and George Orwell and all that. Look it up if you're not familiar with the original 1984 Apple Macintosh Super Bowl commercial. And then we talked earlier about Marcia Griffith's song Electric Boogie was a hit in 1982, but it became a hit again in 1990 when somebody started a line dance called the Electric Slide. On the National Day calendar today, this is National Blonde Brownie Day, but it's also Hot Sauce Day.
Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, opposite ends of the food spectrum there. It's National Polka Dot Day. It's Grandpa Day. Yay. And it's Library, not Selfie, it's Library Shelfie Day. See? So,
yay. I love that.
I didn't make it up. Melissa, you were up late last night. Got a quick little news bulletin from your part of the state.
Yes, the Common Council here in Wisconsin Rapids voted to table the discussion on the ordinance for the ATV-UTV ordinance that the people voted against and has been brought to the council again. So,
okay,
will continue.
We talked about that last week, about the tension between those who want the economic development and the recreation and those who don't want the noise or they have safety concerns. So,
and the mayor saying it's going to happen at some point.
I guess more meetings for you. You're lucky. Well, listen, thanks for getting up and playing with us for a little while. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Always fun, guys.
All right. Still ahead, State Representative Francesca Hong is going to talk about her Healthy School Meals for All bill. That and much more ahead on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.